This is The State We're In from Radio Netherlands Worldwide. I'm Jonathan Gruber, and we're talking about the right to primary health care with the help of a remarkable woman.
Everybody thought, what is this crazy woman doing? You know, how will she ever finish such a big building? And then eventually it was finished 4 years after we started the building. And we started the hospital in 2002 in March.
Meet Edna Adan Ismail in the maternity hospital, which, against all odds, she managed to build in her homeland, Somaliland, in the Horn of Africa. Imagine a region in which the health of a whole population is one of the worst in the world, a region torn apart by civil war, where finding qualified doctors and nurses is almost impossible. That is Somaliland. Yet in the face of all these obstacles, the Edna Adan Maternity Hospital has almost single-handedly improved the dire health statistics there. Despite the fact that Somaliland lacks basic health care facilities, no one is ever turned away.
Even though we started as a maternity hospital, we treat also men and women and young people, old people, because when you have the equipment and when you have the knowledge, you cannot discriminate against sick people. And if you have an old man who has an asthma attack, you give him the oxygen that you have, which he would not find anywhere else in Somaliland, and you just help him to stay alive.
What makes Edna Adan Ismail's accomplishment so astonishing is that Somaliland is extremely poor and still hasn't been recognized by the international community since it broke away from war-torn Somalia in 1991. That fact has created big problems in itself, but Edna keeps moving forward with her hospital. In fact, she's just been awarded the prestigious African Living Legends Award by the African Media International Network. We reached Edna recently at her hospital for this profile interview. I began by asking her just how she manages to keep her hospital going when money is so scarce.
Oh my gosh, I often ask myself that. Last month was the worst deficit we had ever had. We were close to $9,000 in the red. So my pension comes in, it takes care of a little bit, we put back one bill, we say we'll pay it next month, we talk to somebody, we defer it, we just try to do it the best way we can.
$9,000 deficit, exactly how big is that in Somaliland?
Oh my gosh, it's huge. Salaries are the ones that really break my back. And I live here, I live in the hospital, I eat what everybody eats, I sleep where everybody sleeps. And I hope it also makes me save a little bit on my expenses so I can take care of a few necessities that we need to have to keep the hospital going.
I believe the site of the hospital was built in a rather unpleasant place.
It is, yes. You must have heard about it. It used to be a burial place. And then in 1971-72, it was leveled to make it into a military parade ground. And during the revolution, it was made into an execution ground. And by 1991, it became a garbage dump. So whenever you had some trash to throw away, this is where you would throw it. If there was the carcass of a dead dog or something, that's where it was thrown. So when in 91 I came to Somaliland and I saw that the hospitals and things were destroyed and I really got this desire to build a hospital again, this was definitely not the place where I would have liked to build a hospital. In fact, I was very offended when it was suggested that a hospital should go there, because the only place that would take a hospital of this size is that place. And I was...
Because it was so infamous?
It was infamous. It had bad memories for everybody. It was a place that was evil and bad and... So I got very angry and I said, well, come on, I want to give you a hospital. I want to donate a hospital. A hospital is somewhere that should be clean and sterile. And you are pointing me towards a garbage dump? You men will never understand. I mean, this is... So I got very angry and very upset. But then the more I thought about it, the more I felt that maybe that's where the hospital should be. Because it was in an area that was inhabited by poor people, people who had never had a hospital before or during or after the war.
I know that you studied nursing and midwifery in England in the 1950s. What was it like going home to practice?
Well, coming back in 61, having trained in England, having trained in London, it was a shock. But definitely training in Europe to work in Africa doesn't train you for the reality of Africa.
Give me an example.
Very often you get called in the middle of the night, and at one time I remember that, and there was a woman who was having a baby, and her, you know, it was a very difficult baby, and the pelvis was too narrow, the baby was too big, and anywhere else in the world she would have had a cesarean section without any questions. It would have been the best way for the baby and for her. But then I didn't have the facility to do that. I did not have a doctor to call at that time. And I just had to deal to get that baby out and pull it out with forceps and vacuum. We didn't even have vacuum in those days. It was forceps. Do very big cuts and get the baby out. And luckily, the baby was born alive. And the mother was alive. And I thought, my God, it was just by the grace of God. But it always remained with me. I never saw that baby again. So I never really know if it had sustained any brain damage or not. So I always wonder. I say, I wonder what happened to that child 40, 50 years ago. But it was definitely not the best that the woman needed to have.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me more determined to train people better for people in a developing country like mine. They must have jobs. They must have status. And that way they will be able to help their people. And if I go, and I will go, I'm 72, and sooner or later I will have to kick the bucket. There's got to be enough people who will carry forward that message and that example and that responsibility.
Well, Somaliland was more or less destroyed in the Civil War. What was it like trying to set up a hospital in that environment?
Well, impossible, because under normal circumstances, one would advertise positions available and then people would apply and you examine them and take the best, but then there were no qualified people available.
Why were there no qualified personnel at all?
Because those who had been trained in the past were either dead or killed during the war. Others had fled the country or so depressed that they would not be able to work. So it's the war. The war did that.
What happened to the people you knew during the war?
Well, some I heard have been killed. Some were killed while looking after sick people, looking after the injured, escaping from the bombs in the cities and escaping to the countryside and looking after people under the trees, and planes would go after the movement and detect movement anywhere and would start shooting. And some died alongside the patients they were treating, which are horrible stories, but that's the reality of war. And that's one of the reasons I am against any form of war. It certainly has destroyed my country.
Edna, what's the state of healthcare like in Somaliland now?
Improving slowly, but far from satisfactory. Ill-equipped, staffed with people without sufficient and proper qualifications, insufficient diagnostic and equipment. I'm in a country where there is no single mammograph, for instance, to give you an example. A whole nation that cannot screen women to see whether or not they are developing cancer of the breast.
So are you saying that by African standards, Somaliland's healthcare system is poor?
It compares very poorly. Very badly, yes. Yes. We're probably I do not know of another African country where they cannot screen for cancer of the breast and where they cannot screen for cancer of the cervix. Two big killers of women anywhere in the world.
Somaliland itself is still not recognized by most countries as a sovereign state. Now, how does that affect the health care of your people?
Well, it affects it very badly because we do not benefit from technical support. We cannot benefit from exchange of knowledge. We cannot benefit from bilateral aid. We cannot even refer patients for specialized care because we cannot find visas for them. We do not have, this is another country, another example that I can give you, we do not have renal dialysis in all of Somaliland. So if somebody has kidney failure, we cannot give that person dialysis and we cannot send them to another country where dialysis is available because we cannot find a visa for them. It deprives them of the benefit of expertise that may be available in other African countries, not even beyond, but even in neighboring countries. I mean, these are just straightforward examples that we come across several times in a month.
But despite all this, you managed to keep a hospital up and running.
We have to. We have no choice but to. I mean, those who thought it was not possible to have whatever little we have today are often surprised that we are still around and we're still improving and we're still fighting the battle, and then quite often we win the battle against disease because our maternal mortality rate in this hospital, where we are receiving many of the patients who are referred from other institutions, is less than a quarter of the maternal mortality rate of other women in my country. So it proves that with the minimum of training and with the minimum of resources, you can save lives. And if it can be done by a little old woman, it can be done by others as well. So I hope it inspires others. It encourages them not to be afraid of problems, but to stand up and fight and give our people the best chance of survival. And my motto is, the harder it is, the harder you have to try. That's all.
And congratulations on your award.
Oh, thank you very much. I wish they would give me an X-ray machine instead, or a bigger operating theater instead, but if an award is what we get, we're grateful for it.
Edna Adan Ismail, thank you very much for coming on to The State We're In.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
If you want to see a photo of Edna Adan and find out more about her hospital, then just go to our website, tswi.org.